Today, the topic is concentration. The fourth faculty, samadhi. And perhaps concentration is, well, that's a common way to translate that term. But in terms of the experience, maybe there's some other words that would be useful. It's really a collectedness of mind, a stabilization of mind. There's a word that Gill sometimes points to that I like particularly because it really resonates with the word samadhi in a way. And that's composure. And samadhi, the word samadhi, as I understand it, the first part, sam, means something like with. With. And the D part is to stand, that is stand with, to be with. And composure, calm, means with, and pose means stand. That's a nice resonance, I think. Composure, it really evokes the feeling in a way of samadhi, kind of the experience. Collectedness, stability. It manifests as non-distraction. And the mind is present with experience here and now, not pulled out into reactivity. Not pulled off into thinking. Here, present, with, here with, standing with, here. The suttas describe concentration or composure, collectedness, mental unification, much in the way Gill talked about mindfulness yesterday as not being something we do, it's a result. It's a natural result when we engage in a certain way. And here it says, it is to be expected that one who has faith, whose energy is aroused, and whose mindfulness is established, that one will gain concentration. It's to be expected. It is a natural result. It's not something we do. We don't make it happen. It really is the one of the kind of definitions we could say of samadhi, of collectedness of mind, is it is a continuity of mindfulness. And so the last quote from the suttas, in one whose mindfulness is established, concentration will arise. So this establishment, this mindfulness, awareness, having some momentum over time. That is concentration. And it is the energy, the effort we make towards attending to experience. The knowing, as Gil pointed to yesterday, the knowing of experience, knowing it in the present moment, knowing the breath now, here, in this moment, that begins to establish mindfulness. And the establishment of mindfulness, the continuity of mindfulness, is concentration. When mindfulness is established, and this again, this all depends on the direction of how we engage with wisdom motivating our energy, with wisdom motivating the direction of how we aim our energy, will establish a wise mindfulness, a skillful mindfulness, which establishes a skillful or wise concentration. And that direction with the interest in understanding suffering, the interest in recognizing the skillful and the unskillful, an interest in recognizing the impermanent nature of experience, the concentration that's established is kind of aimed in the direction of understanding. It's aimed in the direction to further the development of wisdom, which is the next faculty. And so the aim of concentration in our practice, it has a purpose. It's got a function in our practice. It is not an end in and of itself. We'll talk in a moment a little bit about the feeling of concentration, and it feels pretty good, but that's not the aim, those good feelings. Concentration is established and cultivated in the service of freedom, in the service of understanding, in the service of helping the mind to let go. It supports this continuity of mindfulness, the stability of mindfulness, this concentration supports the mindfulness to be able to see more clearly into experience, to understand the cause and effect and nature of experience, to understand what's skillful and unskillful, to see the impermanent nature of experience, the unreliable nature of experience, the not-self nature of experience. This is the purpose for cultivating concentration, is to see clearly. I think that's important to remember. Our minds can easily get caught up in the idea that the states, because they feel so good, it feels so important in a way, or deep or real, or something about that experience that feels like, oh, this is it. And you know, it's a supportive place. It's a supportive part of the practice, but there's no state that is it. What we are cultivating supports the deepening of understanding, not the creation of certain experience. So we've said a couple of times, and I'll just go over this a little bit briefly, that there are different kinds of concentration. The basic definition of concentration is the establishment of mindfulness, the continuity of mindfulness moment to moment, that we are aware moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. But there are different ways that mindfulness can be stabilized. There's a kind of concentration that we often call one-pointed concentration, which is resulting from when the mindfulness stabilizes with an experience, like the breath. We bring the attention to the breath and we just keep connecting with that. There's one way of stabilizing mindfulness is to choose an object and to stay with an object. Another kind of concentration that's described is called moment-to-moment concentration, and in the text it's called kanika samadhi, momentary concentration. And this is a stabilization of awareness. Still, it is the mindfulness, and when I say awareness and mindfulness, I use them interchangeably. So when I'm saying awareness, I'm just meaning the same thing as mindfulness, but I actually prefer that word. It's more evocative of the experience to me of what it feels like when awareness is present. Awareness is more evocative of that feeling than mindfulness is. Mindfulness feels a little heady or something. Awareness is more evocative for me. So I use these two together, same synonyms. And so this moment-to-moment or momentary concentration is a stability of mindfulness moment-to-moment. But it's just mindfulness meeting changing experience. So there can be a connection with a flow of changing experience, or it can feel like experience is rapidly, you know, popping. But there's just the recognition that mindfulness is here in this moment, and it's connecting directly to the experience in this moment. With this experience, it is not distracted in this moment. Distracted meaning thinking about things, not aware of this, what is happening in this moment. And then in the next moment, there may be something else appearing. And the mind connecting completely and fully with that. So these two kinds of concentration feel very different. There's different kind of experience that happens there. The one-pointed concentration, the stabilization of mindfulness on a particular experience, the mindfulness becomes more continuous with the connection with the breath, for example. There's this gentle effort, and we can do this with it holding tightly to the breath. I've done that, and it does create a kind of concentration, but that kind of concentration often feels very, very narrow. It's not very stable. So the approach that we've been encouraging of relaxed, gentle persistence, gentle connection, moment after moment. If you come back to the breath, come back to it. Receiving, just a receptivity. We've been really emphasizing this gentle effort to stay with one experience. And in this exploration of cultivating mindfulness in this way, the mindfulness will not stay connected. And so there are times when it goes off and you notice that it's gone off. And the movement is to gently let go of what is not the breath in this example, not the breath, and gently return to the breath. Just kind of like, yep, not now, I'll come back to the breath. Not now, I'll come back to the breath. So there's not a lot of engagement with other experience in this form of practice. Just really stabilizing with that one experience. And we set aside reactivity as we can. You know, actually, it was kind of an eye-opening for me when I was first practicing a concentration practice. I was doing a metta concentration practice. And the instruction was, well, if, you know, other things arise, if the hindrances arise, if you can, just, you know, notice that they're there and just let it go and come back to the object, to the metta in this case. And I was surprised that I actually could do that. And it's just like, yep, oh, I don't have to pay attention to that. I don't have to work on that. I just like, yep, there's anger. Yep, just, oh, may all beings be happy. Oh, may all beings be happy. And it was just like, oh, wow, I don't have to like turn my attention to it and look at it and feel it and all of that. I could just let it go. Sometimes we can do that in this form of concentration practice, and sometimes we can't. There were times when I did have to turn to it with mindfulness. And so there's some skillful means that we cultivate here in this form of practice. So we set aside reactivity as we can, and the mind begins to calm down. The reactivity begins to recede, partly just because it's not getting attention. The hindrances quiet down, and it feels pretty good. You know, there's a term for the mind that is free from the hindrances. It's called the bliss of seclusion. Because in the concentration, you know, in this practice of concentration, the hindrances are at bay. They're kind of set aside for a while, but they are still possible. They're still possible to come up. So they're not gone. They're just temporarily on hold. But we get a taste of that experience of what it's like when those hindrances are not there. It feels really good. There's a lot of joy, ease, delight, happiness. The mind feels very collected, stable. Can be a lot of pleasure in the body. So this seclusion from the hindrances brings a lot of pleasure and good feelings in the body. And again, this is not the aim. It's kind of a result. It's a great, you know, result. It's kind of supports the mind. It nourishes the mind to feel this. It gives the mind some kind of respite from some of the challenges of our lives. And so this is this one-pointed concentration, kind of the stabilization of the mind on an object. Both in this kind of practice, the awareness becomes very stable and the object also becomes stable. So the whole experience is one of a lot of stillness. A lot of stillness with this one-pointed concentration. The momentary concentration, the moment-to-moment concentration, is more a stabilization of the awareness, as I said a few minutes ago. Stability of awareness rather than stability of experience. And so we're cultivating in this kind of practice a non-judgmental awareness that can meet whatever is happening while it's happening. We know an experience. When this kind of mindfulness is stable, experience can feel very dynamic. Like a sound, a body sensation, a mood, a thought, another body sensation, and just a flow of rapidly changing experience. But the mind is not hooked by anything. It's not caught. It doesn't like pick up on anything and start thinking about it. It's just here with what is arising moment to moment. So this is a different quality than the stabilization with one point in one pointed concentration. The awareness is very stable, but the experience can feel very dynamic. It may not have that same quality of stillness that the one-pointed concentration has. There's a stillness in the awareness with the objects. The experience can feel quite dynamic. So we're staying present, still non-distracted, in that we're not lost, very aware moment to moment of what is happening. This can be a little odd sometimes, or confusing perhaps, because I think people often assume that if the mind is concentrated, it's going to be the objects are going to be still. And I've had people, you know, telling me, you know, the mind is all over the place, I'm not concentrated, and I ask a little bit about what's happening. This is often on a longer retreat where there's been a kind of a cultivation of mindfulness over time with the breath to start. And then they open and they see there's just so much happening, and they think that this is restlessness. And I ask a few questions. It's like, well, is there any, are you aware with what's going on? And they say, yeah, I know everything. It just isn't landing on anything and staying there. But I know everything. So there's a kind of the idea that that is not concentration. It feels different. It can feel very different. Hindrances also arise in the cultivation of this kind of mindfulness, and generally here we do turn and attend to them. It's what's arising. We just cultivate our awareness on what is obvious in the moment. This is what's obvious in the moment. This is the most predominant thing that's arising. This is what I'll cultivate mindfulness on. That thing ceases, falls away, another thing arises, we cultivate mindfulness with that. So we begin this cultivation of mindfulness on a wide range of experience. And the concentration develops as the mindfulness begins to be able to meet the whole range of our experience. This kind of concentration also feels good. These similar kinds of quality of happiness, delight, joy, ease happen. There can be a real sense of stability of the awareness. We can get very familiar with that experience of the mindfulness being stable, even as the experience is changing. So this experience can feel quite dynamic, even as it's very concentrated or stable, The mind is collected, not around an object, but the mind is essentially collected, established with mindfulness. So it's a gathering of mindfulness, establishment of mindfulness. So concentration, stability of mind is this continuity of mindfulness. So I'd like to talk for a little bit about what supports continuity of mindfulness. This is really where it's at in our practice. And there are different, in the different practices, there's so many different modes of practice. And we're, here we're kind of offering something that's kind of between these two I described, you know, one-pointed concentration and moment-to-moment concentration. And what we're offering here is kind of in the middle. You know, we're encouraging a stabilization with the breath. And yet it is a stabilization with the breath that's interested in the, you know, that the breath is changing, and also that we're not holding tightly to the breath. When something else arises, we let our attention go to that. So there's this stabilization, a little bit of one-pointed, but it also is very respectful of the activity of the mind to shift from experience to experience. And so we're really cultivating both of these kinds of concentration here. And they're both useful. So when we think about continuity, I think we often think about, you know, what that means is just making the effort to stay present. And we talked about effort and energy the other day. And we've really been emphasizing this light touch. I just want to remind you of that. I'm not going to talk about it much again. It's so important in terms of, you know, the remembering to stay engaged, that it be really just enough for this moment, just enough to know what's happening in this moment, and then do it again. And getting familiar with that sense of riding, or when we have a sense that there is a little bit of a flow of mindfulness, we don't need to remind ourselves as frequently, but just a light touch of that connection. That is one way to support continuity, to make the effort to stay connected. Yesterday in Gil talking about mindfulness, he was pointing also, similarly to what I'm pointing to today, that mindfulness is not something we do. We connect with knowing experience. And mindfulness begins to arise. This establishment of mindfulness begins to arise. And he mentioned that one of the supports for mindfulness is that we recognize mindfulness. And so this is a piece I'd like to explore today in a little bit more depth. If mindfulness is a support for mindfulness, and recognizing mindfulness is a support for mindfulness, how do we recognize mindfulness? So mindfulness is a quality of mind that is sometimes present and it's sometimes not present. Now we know this, as Gil said, we often say the mind wandered, you know, as he said, the mind doesn't go anywhere, but the mindfulness disappeared. And at some point, the mindfulness will reappear. And we often, in that moment, say, I'm back, or something like that. You know, I was lost and now I'm back. And so this kind of curiosity around what I sometimes call the comings and goings of mindfulness, I like to flip around this idea that the mind wanders. And, you know, think of that as, you know, that's a problem. You know, it's like, well, let's just look at this phenomenon of the mind getting lost in thought as being the edges of mindfulness coming and going. Let's start getting curious about what it means to notice the comings and goings of mindfulness. In my own practice, this approach to get curious about noticing the comings and goings of mindfulness has supported curiosity rather than a sense of judgment about the fact that the mind, the non-continuity, you know, when the mindfulness is gone, that's a moment when the continuity is not there. But just being curious about the, you know, oh, mindfulness. We don't actually see when mindfulness is gone, but we can begin to see the edges. As it's starting to go, we can start to see that. When it comes back, we can see that. And that's actually the first place that we can really begin to get curious about what is it? What is this experience of mindfulness? What does it feel like when mindfulness returns? So this is a support for continuity because we are beginning to recognize the experience of mindfulness. What does it feel like to be mindful? And as Gil said, that's a support for more mindfulness. So this is a kind of an indirect way to cultivate continuity, to cultivate concentration, noticing the comings and goings of mindfulness. So noticing the comings of mindfulness, when it returns, when it re-arises. That moment when mindfulness returns, we often have a relationship with that of judgment. We feel like it's been a problem that the mind was lost in thought, not present. And so in that moment, often we're doing something, and Gil even talked about yanking mindfulness back, and that's very familiar. A lot of us do that. The sense of, oh, mine was gone. Let me come back. Let me yank it back. Well, I'd like to point out that as soon as there's a moment, as soon as you notice that the mindfulness has, you know, that you haven't been mindful, as soon as you are aware that you haven't been mindful, you are mindful. Mindfulness is there in that moment. We don't have to do, it was interesting yesterday, Gil says, I can turn the light on. It's like, well, the light is already on in that moment. Mindfulness has returned. Can we notice what it's like for the light to be on? In that moment when mindfulness returns, this is a little bit of a carrot in terms of like what you might see, or, you know, instead of judging yourself for having the mind having been wandering. In that moment when mindfulness returns, if you're right there in that moment to see, to be curious, well, what is it like for mindfulness to come back? What is the experience? What is the difference between being mindful now and what it was like a moment before? There's almost like a lingering memory of what it was like in the moment before. kind of dull, fuzzy, lost, confused. And now there's the sense of, okay, it's like the light has come on. There is a sense of, I know. There's the knowing of awareness in that moment. So what is that experience when mindfulness returns? Get curious about that difference when mindfulness returns. Now that moment of mindfulness returning, it's what's called unprompted mindfulness. It happened. You didn't decide for that moment of mindfulness to come. It just arose. And so right there too is a little bit of a teaching of not self. Mindfulness arose. Who did that? It happened. It happens a lot, this moment of mindfulness returning, and you can start to be curious about that, this in your day, through your day. Just recognizing that kind of clarity of recognizing this is mindfulness. The mindfulness is back. Often we, especially in our daily lives, we miss this a little bit. You know, we do become mindful of things. Mindfulness arises way more than we think it does. There's way more mindfulness arising in our daily lives than we are aware of. It just gets submerged almost immediately because we start thinking about what we've become aware of. And so on retreat here, and even in daily life, we can be curious about this moment. Just start to get really curious about this moment, you know, and in your in-between times here, when you're, you know, going to the dining hall or walking around in your home at home when you're, you know, those of you on the Zoom retreat, mindfulness will return spontaneously, unprompted from time to time, and just get familiar with it. The more we recognize it, the more we get familiar with that moment of mindfulness returning, the more it begins to point itself out to us because mindfulness conditions mindfulness. And so we begin to see it more and more. This begins to create a little bit more continuity. Just this practice of noticing that moment of mindfulness returning. The other side, noticing where mindfulness gets lost and getting curious about that. Curiosity is a real natural motivator for effort. If we're curious, instead of just simply trying to hold on to mindfulness through our day, we start to get curious about where does mindfulness get lost. And then, you know, you can almost like take an inventory of your day. So, you know, you might go through your day and see that mindfulness gets lost in particular activities that you do. Or maybe when you go into your room and close the door, mindfulness goes out the window. You don't have to do it anymore. Maybe it gets lost in certain mind states, certain habitual mind states. Maybe it gets lost in physical states in the body. Get curious about those places where you have these gaps of mindfulness. You can kind of, you know, reflect on where does mindfulness get lost. And then, so this is not to judge yourself for mindfulness getting lost, and it's also not to try to, like, force yourself to stay mindful. Because that kind of forceful effort creates a brittle concentration. So this is using curiosity. This is a way to use curiosity to support this continuity. So you start getting curious about where does mindfulness get lost, and then knowing where mindfulness gets lost, sometimes you can, heading into those situations or seeing that there are conditions arising around particular conditions that are those places or times you tend to get lost, you can maybe add a little bit more curiosity. What happens here? How does mindfulness get lost here? So curiosity, where does mindfulness kind of go? How does mindfulness get, what does mindfulness get hooked to? So I'll give you just a few examples from my experience around this, this kind of exploration. So at one point, I began to notice on a retreat that I would find myself staring at myself in the mirror in the bathroom. And I had no recollection of like looking in the mirror. I'm not even sure I knew I'd gone into the bathroom, you know. And so I woke up staring at myself in the mirror. And this happened over and over again. And I began to get curious about it. So I just started, like, as I got curious about this, it'd be like, okay, well, I'm heading to the bathroom. I know I'm aware now. Let's see what happens. And again, I wasn't trying to force myself, I'm going to stay mindful through every single moment. It was more that sense of, let's see what's going on in the mind that I get lost in that situation. And I kept getting lost. It was like I got a little bit closer to it. At one point I noticed that I was washing my hands, you know, over time, and I hadn't looked in the mirror. It's like, oh, I haven't looked in the mirror. And then I just noticed this habit to look up. And I saw it. You know, I saw that intention to look up, and I could see that it was simply a habit, you know, kind of a habit that I had looked at myself in the mirror so many times and just never noticed it. And in this case, there wasn't any like deep, like, you know, needing to be seen, or there was nothing like that, you know. It was just a habit. It was just an old habit of looking in the mirror when I washed my hands. And then after that point, it's just like, it almost disappeared. You know, and yet what happened in that exploration was there was more continuity through my daily life, because there was just an interest in noticing what was going on as I was going into the bathroom. So there was more continuity going on there, more concentration, more ability to see what was happening. Another place of exploration around where awareness gets lost, and this has really been very valuable in my practice, to begin to be curious in particular around habitual states or states of mind where the awareness tends to get lost, where we kind of think that state is antithetical to mindfulness. So, for instance, spaciness. Almost by definition, we think of spaciness as being non-mindfulness. But I began to get curious about spaciness. It's like, rather than trying to force my mind to stay non-spacey, this is how it unfolded in one experience. I'll just describe one experience. There's many, many times I've done this kind of practice, noticing, wow, the mind is getting lost in daydreams. Let's see what's happening there. Let's see, can the mind know that state of daydreaming? And in this case, what was happening, I was eating a meal, and I kept noticing that the mind would just space out. And the spacing out was non-mindful. So the mindfulness got lost. And then when I kind of noticed that, I would bring myself back to breakfast. Like, yep, spaciness, non-mindful, come back. So that's what I started with. And then I began to get curious. This was over the course of, you know, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. I began to get curious because it kept happening. You know, it happened 4 or 5 times, and I just did the bringing back for a little while. And this can be what we think, that this is what we think, you know, what we think of as effort, you know, bring myself back to being present in the way that I think I'm supposed to be being present without spaciness. And at some point of doing it, because it kept happening, you know, it was like moments after I came back, I was spacey again. You know, I kind of felt like the mind was hovering up here somewhere. And so at some point, there was a curiosity. It's like, well, let's see what's going on here. And so as it happened, or as I noticed it, actually, I think probably it started by just noticing, yep, the spaciness is happening. Because what happens is we wake up into these states. I woke up into the spaciness. There was mindfulness of spaciness happening when I said to myself, let me come back. And so that the kind of curiosity was, oh, okay, so spaciness is happening. What is it? There is mindfulness of spaciness right now. Okay, mindfulness can know spaciness. Spaciness is not antithetical to mindfulness. Mindfulness can know that quality of mind. And so I kind of hovered in that space. It felt kind of drifty and it felt like my mind was a little above my body, hovering up here a little bit. Felt kind of, you know, not connected to physical experience, but there was awareness of the mind kind of floating. And I also noticed in that moment that I was really tired and that this was very restful. It felt really restful for the mind to just like hover. And so it's like, oh, that's okay. So hovering and resting, and you know, I was aware of it. The mindfulness was present with that. And after maybe 30 seconds of that, just being with that, that state, it's kind of like fog that dissipated. That state dissipated, and then there was just the awareness of body and breathing and the food in front of me and time to eat. And it was like the mind was trying to tell me it needed rest in that moment, and I wasn't letting it rest. So that curiosity around what is actually happening here? So it was tending to get lost in spaciness. So let's see, can the mindfulness go there? And actually, mindfulness can go pretty much anywhere. I think maybe about the only thing mindfulness cannot know is non-mindfulness. And in that, we can also kind of see that as we wake up from mindfulness, what it's like in that moment before. Another key exploration around when mindfulness gets lost is one of the key places I've begun to see what happens when mindfulness gets lost is when the attention shifts from something that we are kind of intending to pay attention to, like the breath, for instance, hanging out with the breath. And maybe a sound happens, but our idea is that we're paying attention to the breath, and it's almost like we don't notice that the attention has shifted to the sound. And so the attention has shifted to the sound, and it's kind of lost touch with the breath, but we haven't quite noticed that. So there's a getting familiar with what it feels like when the attention shifts. So this practice is really, you know, the practice that we pointed to. You're with the breath, and then something else becomes strong. You notice that. You let the mindfulness shift with the attention. And notice that. That if we don't notice the shift of attention, what tends to happen, you know, so breathing, noticing, and then there's some sound, barking dogs. The mind notices that and then immediately starts thinking about it. Who are those dogs? Why don't they control those dogs? Don't they know there's a meditation center near here? So the mind goes into that because it hasn't noticed that shift. It hasn't noticed that shift of attention. So kind of this, I'd say this is this shift of attention. When the attention shifts and we don't notice the attention has shifted, this is one of the key reasons why the mind wanders, why the mind starts thinking. Because we haven't noticed that the mind actually picked up on something else. The mindfulness hasn't noticed that the attention shifted. So these explorations is kind of an encouragement to a cultivation of stability of mind, not so much through effort, but more through curiosity. And curiosity about awareness itself. Curiosity about where it gets lost. Curiosity about what it feels like to be aware. And the more familiar we get with that experience, actually, you know, the moment I talked about, the moment of remembering, of awareness, and getting familiar with that experience of, oh, this is what it feels like to be aware. We can then also start to just recognize that experience, what that stable awareness feels like, which is a concentration. So essentially, we begin to recognize that state of the continuity of mindfulness, the stabilization of that. We can feel that, and that itself supports the continuity, supports that concentration. So the process that we're going through here to stabilize the mindfulness, to develop that continuity, just the process we're going through is cultivating this next faculty of wisdom. Because we see, we learn so much about our minds, we learn so much about the conditioned nature of our minds. We learn about its habits, its reactivity, and we learn how much our own minds play into the suffering that we are experiencing. We learn about the uncontrollability of our mind, the not-self nature of it. That it, yeah, mindfulness comes and goes. I didn't decide for mindfulness to go. And I didn't decide for it to come back. Right there. It's a wisdom teaching, a pointing. If we are curious about, interested in, noticing that. And so with this establishment of mindfulness, so just the establishment in the cultivation of that continuity, of that concentration, composure, where the mind is not being pulled out. We learn a lot in the work, the support, as we aim in that direction. And as it gets more stable, as there is a, you know, stretches perhaps of time where there's more continuity, in those places, in those times, the mind can see very clearly. This is the purpose of the concentration, the support to see deeply into the impermanent, unreliable, not-self nature of experience. And this is, again, this is something that happens. It's not something we decide to do. I'm going to have an insight into impermanence. The conditions of the continuity of mindfulness creates the possibility to see clearly. And again, because the whole way we've been practicing has been shaped by wisdom, shaped by the aim towards understanding skillful and unskillful, we see this more clearly as the mindfulness stabilizes, as the concentration gets strong. We directly see into this impermanent, unreliable, not self nature of experience, and that ends up being very freeing. Because all of the clinging that we do is essentially around resisting, fighting that nature of experience. So having talked about concentration and kind of continuity here, you know, I heard a lot of talks about concentration and continuity, and I kind of thought I had to work really hard for a long time, and then maybe I'd get like a few minutes of concentration, or maybe an hour of concentration, and then maybe after an hour of concentration, I could see something clearly. And what I've discovered in my practice, and what actually goes on, is as we cultivate this stability of mindfulness, we get what I'll call bursts of continuity. Just a gift of seconds of very clear mindfulness for a few seconds. And in that few seconds, sometimes in the midst of your day, you're just doing something ordinary in the kitchen. And I mean, not even trying to be mindful, perhaps, but just something happens. Mindfulness arises, and you're right there to see that mindfulness is there. And in that 2 or 3 seconds, really clearly seeing into some conditioned nature of experience. These gifts of these bursts of continuity happen because we're making the effort over time. And if we can be curious and interested in those moments when mindfulness arises again. No judgment about it, not being mindful the moments before, just mindfulness is here and it's very clearly seeing into this moment how the mind is constructing something. Those gifts come because of the practice. And so sometimes the concentration happens in little bursts, but we have to be available for them. And this practice of recognizing, getting familiar with what it's like to be mindful helps us to be there when those moments happen. And so this point of cultivating the stability of mindfulness, concentration arises, and sometimes we do get those pleasurable experiences, but again, not the point. Although it can be a place of rest or nourishment, of ease, to take some respite from something. But this natural result of faith, vitality, awareness, composure is wisdom. The next factor to see clearly. And that will be tomorrow's topic. Thank you.